This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma, and I have part one of chapter 17 in this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. BC, our Vatican assassin, has been failing upward in spectacular fashion, going from hitman to diplomat to pope to CEO, now CEO of the Transpace Project. The project didn't even know that yet. And Anita and the rest of them are now mourning the death of founder Von Kilner. She thinks aliens are responsible. She thinks the Eldred, the same race she recently told BC, she thinks is responsible for the plague, now threatening to wipe out humankind, is responsible for killing Von Kilner as well. So BC heads back to Vatican City, and to a meeting with Anita, where he'll have to break his CEO news, probably. In part one of chapter 17 on Glow in the Dark Radio. In book news, I want to remind you I'm giving away a free PDF comic book this month of December. It's for a limited time, just this month, and there's a limited number. And you can only get this by following the link to Drive-Thru Comics that is in the show notes. It's a link-specific discount. It takes you to that book, that PDF, which is available for download through Drive-Thru Comics, and it lets you get it for free. That features the done-in-one story. It's all one story under that cover in The Adventures of Alibi Jones, number 3. It's Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, with art by Casey Bouchard for Alibi Jones' Present, and for the past, where he goes back in time and meets his father, BC. We've got the team from the Vatican Assassin graphic novel, Christian Navarro and Juan Carlos Quatordio. So that's all in The Adventures of Alibi Jones, number 3, featuring Alibi Jones' Christmas Present. It's a free PDF comic book I'm giving away this month of December through Drive-Thru Comics. And just follow the link in the show notes to get yourself a free copy before they're gone. I want to thank patrons, my patrons, for keeping the show going, keeping the lights on, as it were. And you can do the same if you'd like. If you'd like to become a patron, you can find out more about it at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com and follow the link to Patreon. Patreon basically collects whatever you pledge per month and helps me keep my membership together and fund the show. Kind of a nice setup. If you want to find out more, again, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. You can pledge $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month and help keep the show going. And again, a big thank you to those of you who are patrons already. That's very cool. If you're looking for holiday gifts, Christmas gifts, remember, I have a new calendar for 2024, the Ancient Stone Mysteries of New England calendar. It's available through lulu.com. They are my printer. And you can find out more by going to ancientstonemysteries.com and clicking where it says calendar. If you're looking for a Christmas gift or holiday gift of some kind, of course, you know, my books make nice gifts as well, and being an independent sort, not everybody has these, so they can be gifts for people who maybe hard to shop for, you know? Just throwing that out there. Speaking of, Hanukkah is underway, so happy Hanukkah if you are celebrating. But that's enough from me. We'll get into Chapter 17, Part 1 of Vatican Ambassador next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
The Flash Pulp Podcast. 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. Now it's three apocalypses in one.
Yeah!
Suffering from tough, stuck-on humans? Well, 20 hellish hours of suffocation in the all-encompassing web of Karwick the Spider God will get them right out. Too many brains lying around? The ravenous mouths surrounding zombie-fighting Ruby will quickly clean those up. Nosy neighbors? Infect them with the murder plague, and watch as they dissolve into paranoid maniacs bent on the preemptive assassination of their friends and family. Why stop at one end of the world when you can have all three? You can find them all at flashpulp.com or search for them on iTunes.
Now here's Chapter 17, Part 1, A Vatican Ambassador, on Glow in the Dark Radio.
BC leaves New York and heads back to Vatican City. So, a CEO now, in charge of the project. And the Pope, too. Man, is the human race hurting or what? When they turn to me. Me, Bernard Campion. How could someone like me rise this high? But then again, who else is left? Anita is waiting in BC's offices when he arrives in Rome. BC, or do I have to call you Pope something? She asks as she smiles. The smile quickly fades, replaced by concern. BC is still fine, BC says. I'm so sorry about Van Kilner, Anita. I know you were close. She drops her head and then looks back up at BC with tears wetting the corners of her eyes. Thank you, BC, she says softly. She wipes the tears away quickly. I just got some more bad news, she says, shaking her head. Seems the UTZ has taken notice of the project again. Out of the blue, they're installing some asshole as our new CEO, she says with exasperation. Hey, why are you smiling? BC laughs. Say hello to your new asshole CEO. You? You told them about the project? We told you about the project in secrecy, Anita says in surprise and anger. Why? How could you let them know we exist? Why did you open us up to UTZ scrutiny? BC is surprised by her anger. I'm trying to protect the project, BC insists. Besides, why bring me in and tell me all about the project unless you were getting ready to go public and tell everyone? Wasn't it inevitable? How else could project scientists work with the other UTZ scientists? We've all got to work together to stop this plague. I thought you could see that. How else could I protect the project and still get all our scientists together to work on the plague except by doing this? Anita ponders this, staring at the floor. She doesn't answer him. After a minute, she looks back up at BC. So, you're our new boss, she says.
Great.
Not exactly the reaction I'd hoped for.
Any other shocking news, then? She asks.
BC, thinking, doesn't respond immediately.
Anything on the plague? She prompts him.
No, he admits. The UTZ scientists are stymied, too. But the UTZ Council is willing to have their brains and our brains work together on it.
Progressive of them, Anita comments with heavy sarcasm. So now it's our brains, huh?
BC scratches his head.
Once again, not exactly the reaction I'd hoped for.
Why so hostile? He asks her. She sighs again.
I don't know, she admits. I don't know what to do, BC. I feel helpless, and I don't like it.
She turns away, walks a few steps, and turns back.
It's not you.
Well, you are part of it, but that'll pass.
I'm still reeling from Van Kilner's... She pauses. His passing. It's like getting hit in the stomach over and over, BC.
BC tries to say something consoling.
I know he meant a lot to you. I'm sorry.
BC fails. What happened? You said you think they killed him? The Eldred?
It was like the plague, she tells him. But he survived the plague. It had to be something else, something new, something they designed just for him, she rants.
Are you sure you're not just being paranoid? BC asks her. He was an old, old man. She frowns, shakes her head, and looks up at BC through red-rimmed eyes, suddenly vulnerable. I don't know anymore. She turns and walks away, turns back, and then starts pacing across the office. You're pacing, BC points out. I'm thinking, Anita answers him, the edge back in her voice. She paces back over to look him in the eye. I wish you'd met them, she says to BC. Who? He asks. The Eldred, she clarifies. I'd love to get your take on them. See what you think. I think they sound creepy, BC cracks. They actually seem very non-threatening, but that passivity does make them a little creepy in a way. It's like you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop with them. I'm hearing some pretty loud footsteps now, BC remarks. You used to trust them? Well, to a point, she tells him. You'd know what I mean if you'd met them, she protests. She stops. No, you should. You really should meet them. She's getting excited. I can arrange it. Wait, what? You want me to meet the Eldred? No way, BC protests. I don't think so. Let them poison or plague me, too, the way they got Van Kilner? Are you nuts? I don't think it's crazy. It's like walking into a trap we've built for ourselves, he protests. What is she thinking? You've been immune to this plague thing so far, she points out. So far, BC agrees, but so was Van Kilner. Anita winces, as if in pain. She reels like she's been hit. I'm sorry, BC says, just to say something. No, don't be, she tells him. You've got a valid point. But I've been immune so far, too, and they haven't killed me yet. She looks puzzled. What is she thinking? Should I do this? The Eldred don't know me. They would have had no time or opportunity to cook something up for me alone. Maybe I should meet them, you know? Know your enemy and all. Okay, BC says, I'll do it. What? She says. I've changed my mind. I want to meet the Eldred. Give you my impressions, BC tells her. Get in touch, see what they say. Really? Really. We need a next step, right? BC asks her rhetorically. Nothing else is working. This could be it. Might be worth the risk, he says, thinking out loud. I can't be selfish now. I'm the fucking Pope. Nice language, Pontiff, Anita ribs him. What? BC feigns ignorance. So I'm the Pope. It doesn't seem to matter much. BC looks around the office, around at the city beyond. Especially not here. Vatican City runs itself. My job, basically, is to look good and stay out of the way of the Curia. Things are still shaking out after the reunification, too, so there's territorial weirdness, redundant administration and confusion, and so many people dead. BC trails off. I know, Anita says. You can really feel the scale of it down here. On Earth, I mean. There's no one around the ports. Hardly anyone in St. Peter's Square. The hallways here echo because they're so empty. She trails off as well. Silence fills the momentary lull in their conversation. Well, BC says, breaking the quiet, the fact that this place runs itself should mean that I can get out of here for a little while. I want to head back to the moon, coordinate the UTZ and project efforts from the Vatican mission on Lunar Prime, he tells her. Do you think they'll just let the Pope run away like that? She asks him, only half serious. I don't think they'll stop me, BC says. The Vatican mission is an extension of this place, right? BC says, spreading his arms wide to take it all in. Anita starts laughing. What? BC asks her. You just don't like it here, do you? She ribs BC. Can't wait to get away? You should see how uncomfortable you look. BC shrugs. It doesn't come naturally to me, no. But if I can do something to stop this craziness by being Pope, well, then I'm gonna do it. I'm not even sure we're at war anymore, at least not with the UIN. Not when people are dying from this plague in record numbers. Not when we're busy burying our dead. Not when we're not killing each other. There's no time to create new corpses. No time to continue to war with each other. But maybe time to realize we're at war with the Eldred, if what you say is true. Look, Anita waves her arms. I don't want to discourage you from doing what you want to do. You want to go back to Lunar Prime? Go. You're the boss, right? Let's go wherever you're comfortable. Thanks. I'll admit it, I do like it there. Shit, I built the place. There you go again, not sounding too Pope-like, Anita points out again. She smiles. BC decides to try to win her over. So, now, is it okay that I'm your CEO, he asks her. She shrugs. Yeah, I guess so. I'm coming around. I guess it's good to have a buffer between the project and the UTZ, she says. Even if the buffer is you. Now we're getting somewhere, BC says, smiling. I will need your help, he says to Anita. Yeah, I knew that. You might be the CEO, but you're so newbie it's scary, she says. Can we keep the asteroid base quiet for now? Absolutely. We'll make the moon base the focal point for the UTZ for the project. Let's get the scientists studying the plague set up on the moon. Seemed like there was plenty of room in that old base of yours. Ours. Anita smiles at his slip-up and correction. I'll make that happen. I'll head right back to the moon and make the arrangements. Make sure our scientists get back to the moon base, she confirms. And I'll see if I can contact the Eldred for you. You do that. I'm going to set up my own travel to Lunar Prime. I'm going to travel incognito, as a simple priest. Anita laughs. There is nothing simple about you, Bernard Campion, she tells him. She laughs again and then turns and walks out of the office, leaving BC standing there alone. She tried to kill me. But I'm beginning to like her? Is that some kind of death wish? Attracted to someone who wanted you dead? BC has his staff book him passage on a commercial flight to Lunar Prime, one of the few shuttles still running. The Curia don't protest his intended leave too strenuously, just enough to make themselves appear to be concerned. He's on his way to the moon early the next day. BC is booked on his flight as Father Blanco, but he doesn't feel terribly incognito. At least I was able to avoid the entourage. He tries to sleep on the shuttle to Lunar Prime, but his mind is racing. I wonder if Anita has talked to the Eldred yet. Have the scientists arrived? Why haven't we heard anything from Mars? Outside his window, BC watches the Earth grow smaller as his ship speeds to the moon. There are half as many of us now down there. And I thought I was a professional killer. The Eldred make me look like a novice. I never worked on a global scale, after all. But since we're all killers, maybe on some level we will understand each other. Maybe? I don't know. Oh shit, a headache? No! Someone has inconveniently decided to drive a spike through BC's skull or injection load his brain with expanding concrete. Either way, his head feels like it's going to explode. Soon. He curls into as much of a ball as he can in a commercial shuttle seat. Make it stop, 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 make it stop. The headache doesn't stop. BC stays curled up for the rest of the trip. The pressure inside his skull eases somewhat as they land on the moon at the Lunar Prime spaceport. Damn! I need my head to clear. BC struggles to get off the shuttle, trying not to look drunk or chemically altered. I'm not messed up. Well, I am, but I'm not on anything. Everything's foggy for BC as he gets off the shuttle and half walks, half staggers into the spaceport. He almost runs headlong into Anita. Whoa, she says. I have a terrible headache, BC tries to explain. You look horrible, Anita tells him. Thanks, you look great too, he jokes feebly. Nice to see you. Wow, lame sarcasm even as your brain is about to leak out both your ears. Impressive, Anita says. BC, trying to talk, ends up wincing as another dagger of pain shoots through his skull. You really are bad off, Anita notes. Why don't you come lay down on my ship? It's parked nearby. We can see if there's anything we can do for you on board. Sure, BC weakly agrees. Just trying to keep my shit together. Where is it? He asks her. This way, she says, grabbing his shoulder and steering him off towards the berth where her ship awaits. She lets go and walks ahead. He struggles to follow her lead, manages to follow her up and into her ship. Or my ship, really. It belongs to the project, and I'm the CEO now, after all, right? Hard to think. Where can I lay down? BC asks Anita once they're on board. Here, she says, opening a door in the corridor wall. Use the stateroom. BC half walks, half falls into the room and onto the bed. I thought these things were done. Now two in quick succession? What the fuck? BC closes his eyes and tries to sleep. He skips across the surface of sleep like a rock skips across the still pond, pain swimming behind his eyes. He can hardly think straight as he struggles past the pain. Suddenly, everything shrinks down to a pinpoint. BC feels still, calm. His world begins to open up and expand. The walls fall away. What? Where? Where am I? In the center, in touch with the all that is one. Oh, sure I am. BC walks across an infinite ocean, a still calm sea. The other voice echoes in from nowhere and everywhere, not heard by ears, but heard all the same. Let those who have ears hear. I'm listening. Are you? Are you really? What, you doubt me? I challenge you. Questions stir thoughts. activate centers within the mind, open the mind, and create possibilities. The doors open. I challenge you. I hope. So, who are you supposed to be? Jesus? I am associated energy, let's say. I've tried to explain this to you before. Ha! Before is not a concept I'm usually encumbered by. I am Jesus. I am also many others simultaneously. Some operate on your level, some on this level. You are one of very few that has awoken. You operate on this level, but others never awaken. So, wait, are you saying you're me? That would make sense. This is all in my imagination, or unconscious, really. Is it? Strange. I'm not saying that I'm you, but we are all one. What? What is happening to me? These headaches, are they related to you? You are waking up, and I am the only other awake. Awake? BC asks as he wakes up. The vision and voice are gone. You awake? He hears Anita ask from close by. How's your headache? Huh, BC says, noticing his head has cleared a little. It's gone. I'm better. You've been out for about 3 hours, she tells him. 3 hours? BC can't believe it. What? Anita wonders. Did it seem longer or shorter? Shorter, BC tells her. Bizarre dream. At least my headache is going away. Did you give me anything for it? He asks her. No, we thought it would be better to wait until you came around again. Do you need something? Nah, he reassures her. I feel okay now. He sits up on the bed and looks around the stateroom. Standard gray walls, blue stripe running around the walls about 3 feet off the ground, fold-down furniture including the bed he's laying on. Anita sits about a foot away on a chair folded down from the wall, opposite the bed. She leans forward to see how BC's doing. Huh, she smells good. Are you wearing a new perfume or something? BC asks her. What? Anita is surprised by his question out of left field. You smell good, he tells her. Is she blushing? Hard to tell in this low light. It's jasmine, kind of. You like it? Yeah, BC says. Their eyes meet and lock. You smell damn good, Anita Capituna, he tells her. He stretches up off the bed towards her. She leans forward. Their lips meet in a kiss. It's electric. Wow, fucking A-wow. BC and Anita kiss for a solid minute, before they each realize what they're doing, and pull back away from each other. She starts to say. Don't, BC stops her. Don't say anything yet. He looks her in the eyes. She looks away and then looks back at him. Huh, BC says. That was... Anita looks for a word. Electric. BC shakes his head in disbelief at what's happening, and then realizes Anita might take it the wrong way. He says quickly, yeah, it was. Yeah, Anita says. There's always been something there, though, hasn't there? BC asks her. I mean, even when you were trying to kill me, there was some electricity between us. Oh, you mean like when you were clobbering me over the head with hatch doors? Anita counters. Touché, BC admits. The conversation has dispelled some of the magic between them. BC backs off and leans back on the bed, as Anita leans back in her chair. Let's not... Anita starts. No, not right now, BC finishes. Each of them is somehow saying more than they're actually saying out loud. I think I need a little more sleep to clear my head, BC says. Anita nods and stands up. Good idea, she says. I'll take care of some other things while you rest. If you need me, the comm's right here, she tells him, indicating the obvious comm controls in the wall next to the bed. She looks at BC again, and then glances awake. She ducks quickly out the door. BC settles back down on the bed and lets sleep wash over him. He wakes up a while later feeling much better, ready to go. He thumbs on the comm. Anita, he asks. BC, she answers, you're awake? Yeah, but I could use refreshing. There's a refresher just down the corridor from your stateroom, she says. Just take a right when you leave the stateroom, and go in the second door on your right. Great, BC says, thanks. BC finds the refresher easily, and gets his act together in the small room. When he finishes and leaves the refresher room, Anita is waiting for him. You okay to go out in public now? She asks him. You don't want to look too out of it. I think we got you into the ship here fast enough that no one recognized you. But it's a long way from the spaceport to the Vatican mission. You're bound to be seen, spotted, recognized. We can't have you looking like crap, right? Thanks for all your concern for my image, BC says, slightly puzzled by the angle of Anita's concern. Why the PR prep talk? He asks her. Whether you know it or not, she starts, pauses. Whether you like it or not, you're a symbol now, BC. A symbol of strength, the new pope. Still healthy in the face of the plague. The new leader of the project, too, and all that entails. It's important you look good, BC, don't you see?
I see, BC says. Thanks for reminding me. I thought I was traveling incognito.
You were traveling incognito, Anita informs him. But now they know you're here on Lunar Prime. The media began to report a suspicious absence on your part until your Vatican people informed them you were coming here, not missing.
Missing? Oh, damn, BC says, realizing he can no longer make a move without someone noticing.
Second time they've noticed now.
That's depressing. And oppressive. And Anita's all business now, none of the closeness we had last night.
What gives?
The governor would like to see you too, she informs BC, whenever you can fit her into your busy schedule.
The governor, BC says, confused for a minute.
Erskine, she reminds him. She wants to see you.
Is that jealousy I hear?
Nah, can't be. You have a vivid imagination, BC.
I should check in with the Vatican, too, back at the mission, BC says. He starts to go. Anita looks worried.
I'm okay, BC insists, trying to reassure her.
He straightens his clothes and makes his way off the project ship.
That was Vatican Ambassador Chapter 17, Part 1, Glow-in-the-Dark Radio. Well, a lot happening in that chapter. In just the first part of that chapter. BC and Anita kissing there. BC spoke with something in his mind. And BC decided to meet the Eldred. And he's CEO of the project. So, lots going on for BC these days. And now, at any rate, BC is back on Lunar Prime on our next episode, in Part 2 of Chapter 17 of Vatican Ambassador. A reminder, you can get a free PDF comic book of The Adventures of Alibi Jones, Issue Number 3, featuring Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, where he travels back in time and meets BC. Just follow the link in the show notes to Drive Through Comics to get your free PDF comic. A happy Hanukkah to everybody who celebrates as we get into the Festival of Lights. That's why I'm giving stuff away. We've got holidays going on. And my gratitude, my big thanks going out to my patrons who help keep this show going. I can use your help, too, if you want to become a patron. Just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, and you can pledge $2, $5, or $10 a month to help me keep this going. And that is all for this week. We've got Part 2 of Chapter 17 coming up on our next episode. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.